Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Today on the program, you will hear stories from Christopher Jones Cruz, Marcia James, and Kelly Jean Kelly. Later, Jill Robbins and John Russell will bring us this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, the Brazilian city of Petrópolis is known for its 19th century buildings and its imperial museum. The museum includes the summer home of Brazil's last ruler, Dom Pedro II. But many people who live in Petrópolis are upset about having to pay a special property tax linked to the country's former rulers. The tax is known as laudêmio. It takes 2.5% of the value of real estate deals. The money from the tax goes directly to the descendants of Dom Pedro II, more than 100 years after he was ousted. The property tax is an example of social injustice to many of the 300,000 people living in the city. Brazil is one of the world's most unequal places for property distribution. Almost half of the land is owned by 1% of the population. Experts say laws that were written before Brazil's independence from Portugal worsen the problem. The tax was established in Brazil by the rulers of Portugal to ensure that land was passed from European settlers to their descendants. In colonial times, Brazil's land was the property of Portugal. Brazil became a republic in 1889, but the special tax was never cancelled. Many criticize the tax because it continues to earn money for only a few privileged families. Marco Antonio de Melo Breves is an official with Brazil's Federal Tax Department. He says he does not know how much money is paid each year under the royal property tax or how much it costs the average homeowner. Breves says payments are generally made through private lawyers who make documents official. He adds that the government does not have information on how many royal descendants are receiving money from people paying the property tax. Government officials say unclear property ownership and complex land registration policies are problems in Brazil. The Ministry of Cities says half the population cannot prove full legal ownership of their homes. Ana Paula Bueno is a lawyer with the Land Governance Group at the State University of Campinas. She says removing the special property tax would require many changes to current laws. Isabella Berlun works at the Imperial Museum of Petrópolis. She says that when Brazil created a new constitution in 1988, some people wanted to end the tax. Their efforts, however, were unsuccessful.
As an American Navy aircraft carrier group heads toward Korea, China said Thursday that military force alone cannot end tensions on the Korean Peninsula. At the same time, an influential Chinese newspaper urged North Korea to stop its nuclear program in exchange for Chinese protection. Experts are worried that the North could soon conduct its sixth nuclear test or launch more missiles in defiance of United Nations resolutions and sanctions. The United States has also strongly warned that it will no longer be patient with the North. China is the North's only major ally. It also gives a lot of aid to the country. But it wants the North to end its nuclear weapons program. China has called for negotiations to ease tensions. It also wants nuclear weapons removed from the peninsula. The Global Times newspaper, which is published by the Communist Party's People's Daily, called on North Korea and its leader Kim Jong-un to stop developing nuclear weapons. As soon as North Korea complies with China's declared advice and suspends nuclear activities, China will actively work to protect the security of a denuclearized North Korean nation and regime, it wrote recently. On Wednesday, U.S. President Donald Trump told the Wall Street Journal, "You cannot allow a country like North Korea to have nuclear power, nuclear weapons. That's mass destruction." A day earlier, the president told Fox Business Network that the United States is sending an armada, very powerful. We have submarines, very powerful, far more powerful than the aircraft carrier. Sources told VOA that the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier group includes the USS Ohio submarine, which is armed with 154 Tomahawk cruise missiles. Just last week, the U.S. fired 59 missiles at a Syrian airfield in response to a deadly gas attack. From Beijing, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said military force cannot resolve the issue. Amid challenge, there is opportunity. Amid tensions, we will also find a kind of opportunity to return to talks. Wang warned that whoever provokes the situation, whoever continues to make trouble in this place, they will have to assume historical responsibility. U.S. President Donald Trump has said he will not accept any military aggression from North Korea. But American officials say the administration wants to use stronger economic sanctions against the North, not weapons. U.S. officials said the president was considering an oil embargo, banning North Korea's airline, intercepting cargo ships, and punishing Chinese banks that work with North Korean companies and the government. There's a whole host of things that are possible, all the way up to what's essentially a trade quarantine on North Korea, an official told Reuters. From Seoul, South Korean Foreign Minister Yoon Byung-se told Parliament that he believes the U.S. will tell his country before it attacks the North. On Thursday morning, a spokesman for the Joint Chiefs of Staff said South Korea has no evidence that military aggression from the North will happen soon. The United States has about 28,000 500 troops in South Korea. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe also said on Thursday that North Korea may be able to fire missiles that have sarin nerve gas. A senior Japanese diplomat said the United States was putting maximum pressure on North Korea to ease tensions, while also pressuring China to influence its ally. South Korean officials said there were no new signs showing a nuclear test by the North was likely. But they said the North appeared ready to conduct a test at any time. Pictures taken by satellites show a North Korean nuclear site is being prepared for what would be the country's sixth nuclear test. North Korea marks the Day of the Sun on Saturday, April 15th. It is the 105th birth anniversary of its founder, Kim Il-sung. The North often makes large displays of its military strength on this day. U.S. government sources said that North Korea appears to have placed a device in a tunnel at the site that could be detonated Saturday or even sooner. We have no comment, but we will be watching closely, an official at the National Security Council told VOA.
If you are a refugee, Uganda may be one of the better places to live. The country's refugee policy is considered one of the most progressive in the world. Newcomers are permitted freedom of movement. They can operate their own businesses. And for the most part, Ugandans are welcoming. For years, Uganda has helped people from across Africa. Currently, there are more than 1.1 million refugees and asylum seekers in the country. Many have fled violence at home. They are from South Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Burundi. Solomon Osakin is a settlement officer in the office of Uganda's prime minister. He works with the United Nations Humanitarian Agency to direct refugee operations in the country. He says his country's refugee policy comes from wanting to help Africans in trouble. The Ugandan system is opposite of the model followed in many other areas, where refugees are kept separate from the rest of the population and unable to leave. Uganda has refugee settlements, not camps. Host communities have donated much of the land for these settlements. Refugees receive a 50-meter by 50-meter piece of land for shelter and growing crops. The refugees are free to move around in the country. They also receive employment waivers for jobs, free health care, and education. Near the recently opened Mvepi settlement, some local people said that outsiders are getting the jobs, not them. UN officials and Uganda's government say many of the jobs in the settlements require skills that are not always found in the local communities. Many refugees at the settlement noted food shortages. UN officials say A lack of money for buying food is the main problem. Last year, food supplies were cut by 50% for refugees who arrived before July 2015, except for those considered particularly vulnerable. I'm Marcia James.
The United States Commerce Department has begun a 90-day study of trade imbalances between the U.S. and some Asian nations. Experts say the review could produce a major change in Asia's trading relationship with the United States. The review follows President Donald Trump's call for action against foreign importers that cheat. Among the Asian economies Trump criticized are China, Japan, Thailand, South Korea, Malaysia, India, Taiwan, Indonesia, and Vietnam. Trump has said that he will make an historic reversal in U.S. trade policy after the review. A possible U.S. trade policy change is making many government officials in Southeast Asia worried. After World War II, many developing economies in East and Southeast Asia exported their products to the United States. The relationship helped end poverty for millions of people. But during the 2016 presidential campaign, Trump charged that some trade policies, especially those of China, had harmed the American economy. He accused some countries of unfairly keeping the value of their currency low compared to the value of the U.S. dollar. This makes their exported products less costly than similar products made in the United States. Crystal Tan is an economist at Capital Economics in Singapore. She said, two countries that are most worried about being named currency manipulators are South Korea and Taiwan. Countries that are officially identified as currency manipulators can face economic punishments, such as fines or import taxes. Tan says, if countries want to avoid economic restrictions, they will need to open their markets to more American products. Officials in Taiwan say the trading relationship with the U.S. is not a hostile one. They note that more than 80% of the exports Taiwan sends are not completed products. Instead, they are put together in the United States. David Hsu is the Deputy Director General of the Bureau of Foreign Trade in Taiwan. He told reporters that the trading relationship with the U.S. is mutually beneficial. Government and business officials in Malaysia are also worried about the U.S. trade review. In late 2016, an increase in exports increased economic growth in Malaysia to 4.5%. Ong Kah Chuan is the Malaysian Minister of International Trade and Industry. Ong told reporters that Malaysia was not responsible for the large U.S. trade deficit. Ong said, Malaysia was dealing with the U.S. fairly. Ong added that any restrictions that may result from a review could harm American manufacturers in Malaysia, such as Intel and Western Digital. If Trump were to punish us, the American firms will be the ones that are dealt a severe blow, he said. The U.S. is Thailand's third largest trading partner after China and Japan. Trade between the U.S. and Thailand was $36.5 billion in 2016. More than $24 billion was from Thai exports. Among the top exports to the U.S. were machinery, electrical appliances, electronics and parts, rubber products, and gems and jewelry. Vietnam also has a trade surplus with the U.S. In other words, it sells far more goods to the U.S. than it buys. Last week, Vietnam's Prime Minister Nguyen Xuan Phuc criticized Trump's decision. He said it would have a huge impact on Vietnam's economy, which depends on exports. President Trump has already changed U.S. trade policy. Soon after he took office in January, Trump withdrew from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, agreement. The agreement was an important part of former U.S. President Barack Obama's Pivot to Asia policy. It was designed to limit China's growing political and economic influence in the area. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
From VOA Learning English, this is Everyday Grammar. Imagine you are watching a film about love, such as Before Sunrise. A couple says goodbye at a train station. They want to meet in the same place 6 months later. Their sad farewell sounds like this.
Right, but I'm going to be here.
Okay, me too.
All right.
And we're not going to call, right? Or
no. It's depressing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right, your train's going to leave. Say goodbye.
Bye.
After you wipe the tear from your eye, some questions might come to your mind. What is the grammatical purpose of okay? And why do Americans use the word so often? In today's Everyday Grammar, we are going to explore the different uses of the word okay. We will learn how its meaning can change depending on how it is used in a sentence.
The word okay can act as a noun, verb, adjective, or adverb. Its meaning changes slightly when it is used in different ways. When speakers use okay as a noun, they usually mean approval or permission. For example, a coworker might tell you, "The boss gave her okay." This is an informal way of saying that the boss gave her permission. The verb form of okay has a similar meaning. It means to approve something. So, a coworker could tell you, "The boss okayed this project." This means the boss approved the project. This use is informal, but you will hear it often, even in professional settings. Finally, there is the adjective form of okay. It means fairly good or not bad. So, you might hear an American say, "The new boss seems like an okay person." This statement does not praise the new boss. Rather, it means that there is nothing remarkable about the new boss. He or she is okay, not great and not bad. Now that we have covered some of the basic meanings of okay, we can turn to what it means when it acts as an adverb.
Adverbs are one of the most difficult subjects in English grammar. They are difficult because they represent a large group of words that have many uses. In general, the definition of an adverb is this: a word that describes a verb, an adjective, another adverb, or a sentence. Adverbs are often used to show time, place, or manner. They are also used as discourse markers, words that organize a conversation. These words show transitions, agreements, disagreements, and so on.
A common discourse marker in American English is, you guessed it, okay. As a discourse marker, it has a few common uses. The first use is to acknowledge what another person says. So, for example, consider this situation. Two friends are ordering dinner at a restaurant. Their conversation goes like this.
Should we order the salad?
Yeah.
Okay.
In this example, one speaker uses okay to show that she acknowledges what the other speaker says. She also uses okay to show agreement. However, Americans often use okay even when they do not necessarily agree with each other. Consider the same situation at a restaurant.
Should we order the salad?
No, it does not look very good.
Okay, but I would like to eat some kind of vegetable.
Once again, okay serves the purpose of acknowledging what another person says. The speakers may disagree about what to eat, but one speaker is using okay to show that she understands what the other speaker is saying. In that sense, okay helps organize a conversation.
A second common use of okay is to show a transition to the end of a conversation. It can also be used to show the end of a topic in a conversation. Here is an example. Imagine you are at a car rental business. The employee has just explained to the customer how to return the car.
Okay, so you understand how to return the car?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay, I'll see you in a few days.
The employee uses the word okay twice. In both cases, the employee uses it to show that the conversation will soon be ending. This use of okay helps make it clear to both speakers that the conversation is coming to a close. In this way, neither speaker is surprised when the conversation does end.
Now that you have learned about the different meanings of okay, think back to the ending of the film Before Sunrise. You heard the speakers use okay several times in the goodbye scene. How were they using the word okay? Did they use it as a noun, adjective, verb, or adverb?
But I'm gonna be here.
Okay, me too.
All right.
And we're not going to call, right? Or
no. It's depressing.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. All right, your train's going to leave. Say goodbye.
Bye.
What did they mean when they said okay? Write to us in the comments section of our website or on our Facebook page. Okay, it has been great teaching this lesson, but we have to go now. Until next time, I'm John Russell.
Okay, and I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.